Okay, we're holding Gittin Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. I do want to get into the Hidur Mitzvah Sugya, but I just wanted to tie up some loose ends over here first, so maybe a day or two on some smaller types of Inyanim, and Yud Tes Amud Aleph and Yud Tes Amud Beis. Just a couple of things. One thing that we didn't get to in the last packet that I thought was somewhat interesting, I saw a discussion in the Sifta, they had an interesting discussion asking a kasha from the case of an eved. Right, we said in the Mishnah that if you write al yad shel eved and no sein la'as ha'eved, you write the get on the eved's hand and you just give her the eved as the get. So that's a kasher get, provided that you hold you're allowed to write on a living being. That you're allowed to give a get, a living being as a get. I mean, it's definitely called kosev. It counts as a get. I just saw Rav Zilberstein Vaharevna in this past week's parsha has a shaila of a guy who took home one of those parsha sheets, you know, from shul on Friday night, and he was sitting at the table. He had his parsha sheet in front of him, and he just conked out straight flat on the parsha sheet. And then his wife woke him up and said, "You promised somebody you're going to go to the Shalom Zachar or Chabur or whatever." So he gets up and he goes to the Shalom Zachar, and everyone's staring at him. And he doesn't understand why is everybody staring at him. And he knows he's very handsome, but he can't imagine why is everybody staring at him. And then someone finally has the guts, goes over to him and says, "You have a bunch of backwards letters on your forehead." Apparently, he fell asleep on the parsha sheet, and it made an imprint. You know, all the letters came off. The ink quality wasn't so good, and all the letters came off backwards. So he wanted to know: is he allowed to wash it off on Shabbos? Interesting. Is he allowed to wash it off ever? It's ksav of Torah. So no, it's gibberish. It's backwards. It's not Torah. Okay. So what about mochek on Shabbos? So I was thinking it's mamish har sugya, right? You write on the yad shalevet. Is that called kosev? So the halacha is it is called kosev. So l'chari, he's got a problem. It's not so pashut. It is called kosev when you write on skin. So okay, it's not kosev al menas limchok. I thought it was mamish har sugya because what's the halacha in that case? What's the halacha? What do you think? So you're all thinking, of course he's allowed to wash it off. I don't know why, but of course he's allowed to wash it off. You can't make the guy walk around the rest of the Shabbos like that. But there is a sugya in Maseches Brachos Daf Yutes where the Gemara talks about Kavod Abrios. The Gemara tells us Kavod Abrios is docha los asei shabatora, that it's docha los asei daraisa. The Gemara says, what? Los asei daraisa? Nah, just kidding. Los asei drabanan. Kavod Abrios is docha isurim drabanan. So if it's going to be very embarrassing, humiliating to a person, you're allowed to violate Nisa drabanan for the sake of Kavod Abrios. So all we need to do to make him be allowed to wash it off is that we got to knock it down to Nisa drabanan. We got to knock it down from Daraisa to drabanan. So is there any way to do that? So one way of thinking is, in order to be chayv for mochek, it has to be mochek al menas lichtov, right? It's only when you're mochek with the plan to write something else in that spot. So he doesn't plan on writing. So the reason he wants to wash off his forehead is not because he wants a different message on his forehead. It's because he wants it off of the forehead. So he's not going. It's not mochik al menas lichtov. But remember, we saw chakira last week. What's the din of mochik al menas lichtov? Is it that's the shame malacha? It's only called mochik when it's al menas lichtov. Maybe no. Maybe there's no real din that you need mochik al menas lichtov. The din is you need to do mochik in a tikkun kind of way, in a non-mekalkel kind of way, in a non-destructive kind of way. Like, for example, if you're being mochik so that you can write something else there. So that's mochik in a non-mekalkel kind of way. Or maybe, for example, if you do mochik on your forehead so that you look normal and not like a crazy person. So that's also in a tikkun kind of way that's not mekalkel. So maybe tally on that, whether this is an issur d'oraisa of mochik or only an issur d'rabbanan. So whether it's maybe tally in that shayla. So that reminded me of our sugya last week. But anyway, so we were discussing this ksav on the eved. So there is a taz that he quotes over here in Eben Ezer Simon Kuf Chav Dal Sivkat and Tes. The taz writes that by a get there's a requirement that the get needs to be detached from the ground. You can't give a get that's still mechubel lekarka. You can't write the get on a tree and then, you know, just like bend down the branch of the tree, you know, just bend it over and give it to her or something like that. Fold it a little, give it to her. If it's still mechubel lekarka, it's no good, right? Because you can't even write it while it's mechubel lekarka, then detach and give it to her. Why? Because of vinasan. You have to write the get and then give the get. It can't be a get where you have to write it and then detach it and then give it. That's too far removed that's an extra step in between. You're not allowed to add a step in between. Very interesting drasha, no? The kasa v'nasan, we darshan, that there can't be a step in between. Who says it can't be a step in between? Meaning, there's a din of ksiva and a din of nesina. Why does that necessarily mean that there can't be a step in between? But apparently there is this, when there are two requirements that are juxtaposed, we're told that there could be zman, you could write it and hang on to it for a while and give it to her much later, but there can't be another step that's going to be necessary in between. Because the zman isn't necessary, it's something you choose to do. You can't create another necessary step. It reminds me a little bit, I think I've mentioned to you, the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. Someone asked the Chassam Sofer, there is a Gemara that says, anything that you plan on detaching is ki'ilu, it's already detached. So, kolomid lugzos kugazos dami, hair that you plan on cutting, it's ki'ilu, it's already cut. So, someone asks some sofer, the chassidish minag, and this is an actual chassidish minag, that women shave their heads, married women shave their heads. So, when they go to the mikveh, the hair is not a chatzitza in the mikveh. So, he says, but when do they shave their heads? Anyone know? Anyone with chassidish blood? Ah, so it's after the chasna. I don't think it's yichru, but I think it's after the first night. It's after the chasna, after the first night, after the bir rishona. That's when they shave their heads. But for the wedding, they still have their hair. They still have their hair on their head. So when do they go to the mikveh the first time? They go to the mikveh before the wedding, right? To be tar lebaila. So someone asks some sofer, but if you hold kol omid b'gazos kagazos dami, that anything that's omid to be cut off, it's ki'ilu, it's cut off already. So isn't all that hair on her head a chatzitza for the mikveh? Because it's as if it's not on her head. It's as if it's already gazos and it's just in the way. So now it should be a chatzitza on her scalp. Her scalp is part of her body. Her hair is no longer considered part of her body. Says the Chassam Sofer, no. Kala omeid li is ki only when there's not another step in between. But when there's going to have to be another step in between, then it's not yet considered omeid l'gazis. Omid l'gazis means that you're planning on cutting it and there's nothing else you have to do between now and then. But in this case, she has to have the bir rishona in between. She has to get married in between. She wouldn't shave it unless she gets married and has the bir rishona. Only after she gets married and has the bir rishona, then she would shave her head. So that's why it's not yet omid l'gazis. It's just like you have that step divorces the two other parts of the process. So it reminds me a little bit of this drush of the kasav and nasan. You can't have another step that divorces the two parts of the process. It has to be one process that goes straight. So frekt the taz. So frekt the taz as follows. By get the halach is nisvi talish, can't be mechub lekarka. The rush explains, simul chav gimel, because the pasuk says v'nasan biyada, and it has to be davar anita miyad liyad. That you have to be able to hand the get over. It has to be something that's metaltalin that you can hand over from one person to another. What's an eved? Is an eved karka or is an eved metaltalin? So physically, he looks more like metaltalin. But how do you make a kinyan on an eved? Avadim, the Gemara tells us, are hukash the karkaos. We compare an eved to karka. So an eved has a din of karka. He's physically metaltalin, but he has a din of karka. So frek the taz, how can you write a get on the yad of neved, even though he says, so you'll tell me, well, maybe the din of get is a din in the nasan, and as long as you can physically give it, that's okay, and you can physically give the eved. Physically, he is metaltalin. He's just halachically karka. Maybe by the get, we don't care what he halachically is, we care what he physically is, right? So he says, but wait a second, there's another halacha. Pasuk says in Bereshis Perek Chaf Beis, "Vayikach ha'machelas lishchav," that you need a shechita knife to do shechita, and the Gemara in Chulin learns out from there that if you shecht with the tziporin, with a fingernail that's on your finger that's still attached, or with your tooth that's still in your mouth, pasul, because it's considered mechubar. So he says, why by the get does it work to write on the eved? If you give the eved, shouldn't that be called mechubar? That the get is considered to be mechuber. So he says, forget about avadim hukshul karkos for a second. When you're writing your fingernail, what's it mechuber to? It's mechuber to your body. And that's a problem. That's not called talush. So when you write the get on the eved, what's it mechuber to? It's mechuber. You write it on the arm of the eved, right? The arm is mechuber to the rest of his body. So it's at least shavadin of mechuber the karka. And that's a real chibur. It's really, really connected. It's really connected to the rest of his body. So three possible terutzim he quotes over here. One he quotes that the Taz himself says that by shechita, the whole limud is from the fact that the pasuk says vayikach. He used the lashon of lekicha. So we learned that anything that's mechubar is possible. By get, it's not from a special lashon that the Chumash used, or an unusual lashon that the Chumash used, by yikach instead of by yichan or something like that. No, by get, it's just that the Torah describes a process, v'nasan biyada. It means that you have to be able to practically give it in her hand. So mechubar l'karka is not a problem, because as long as you can practically give it, see, by shechita, it's gzeiras hakasuv that it can't be mechubar l'karka. It can't be something that's mechubar, and if it's you're doing shechita with something that's attached to a person's body, that is mechubar, that is halachically mechubar, and that's a problem. When it comes to get, there's no din that it can't be mechubar. The din is that it has to be nitan mi'avliyah, that it has to be able to be given. And in this case, where you write it on the Yad Shel Eved, you can still give it, you could still hand it over. So that's teretz number one. Teretz number two, he says, b'shem the Bach. Now, when it comes to get, it says v'nasan shelo yeh mechusar ketzitza el ksiva mesina, that it has to be that there are only two steps in the process, writing and giving, and you can't introduce a third step, which is ketzitza, which is cutting the get off of the tree. So if you write in the Eved, what's the whole psul of writing on the mechubar l'karka, according to the Bach, is that you're adding a third step, the step called ketzitza. When you write on the Eved, are you adding a third step? You're not cutting off the Eved's arm, you're writing in the Eved and giving the Eved. So there is no ketzitza. It's not that there's a psul of mechubar l'karka, it's that you're not allowed to introduce a third step into the get-giving process. The process is ksiva and nesina. On the Yad of the Eved, you're not adding a third step into the get-giving process. You're writing it and you're giving it. There's no ketzitza, you're not chopping off his arm. You're not doing any ketzitza. That's the Bach's mahalich in being retired to this question. The third mahalich is in the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach I put in your packets, but it's much, much longer Or Sameach. He says, the reason that a tooth and a fingernail are possible b'mechubar is not because they're considered mechubar l'karka. It has nothing to do with them being mechubar to a body, and a human body is considered karka, and therefore they're mechubar l'karka. No. He said, a knife is called ma'acheles. And the halacha is, the pasuk says, v'yikachas ma'acheles, that you take the ma'acheles. Ma'acheles is a shechita knife. And the ma'acheles has to be something that's not mechubar to something that's not a ma'acheles. A shein of a behema that's mechubar to the behema may be called a knife, but it, in its way that it's growing, is growing on something that's not a ma'acheles. And that's what makes it pasul, because it's mechubar to something that's not a ma'acheles. By a get, the pasuk says sefer, that you need the sefer to be something that's talish and not mechubar to something that's not a sefer. So mechubar l'karka is pasul because the karka is most definitely not a sefer. But a yad shel eved, keren shel para, where the eved himself becomes the sefer, the para itself becomes the sefer, then it's not a chisar of mechubar, because all of it together is called a sefer. And that's why he says you give the entire eved, the entire para. You don't chop off just the horn, the keren of the para, and give it to her, because it's not a problem giving the entire thing. And according to the Bach, it's even better that if you were to chop off the horn of the para, or even suggest that that's what we should do, well, then that's adding a third step in the process, and that would be a problem. Yeah.
There's a Gemara in Brachos, Tassan Beis, it says that an Eved is like a shor or a chamor. Okay, like the same way that you lose a shor or a chamor, if your Eved dies, it's like you lost your. So the Gemara seems to make a comparison between Eved and a shor and a chamor. Like
that's the Gabe Hilchos Avelus. So it's true. There are. An eved, to say that an eved is karka is overly simplistic. An eved is like karka legabe certain halachos in terms of darkei akinyanim. How are you kona an eved? So you kona an eved the way you'd be kona karka, not by lifting him the way you'd be kona metaltalim. Okay, so that's true. Legabe other halachos, he doesn't have a din of karka. You're allowed to murder your karka. You're not allowed to murder your eved. You can't murder karka. But I'm saying you could stab it all you want, but you're not allowed to stab your eved all you want. There are right there clearly halachas that an eved is not like karka. Say no chidabi. Gabi hilchas avelus. We don't view an eved as karka, although it for that purpose it might as well be, because the point is that there's no avelus. I mean, that was the whole point. That it was Rav Gamliel Tavi Avda over there. Was that
the Gemara? Tavi Avda.
Yeah. So he was. So they were criticizing him. What are you acting so sad for? You know, it's just like an animal that was lost. You shouldn't. So for that purpose, that's actually not the best raya that an eved is not like karka, because in that context, it sort of is like karka, meaning it's like a karka or a behema or anything else.
But it's like behema. We said in the mission also, behema. You're allowed to write on behema. I mean, eved's parallel to behema. The same law is also.
Yeah, but I think over there it's just more in terms of just how sad one should be, that it's not, it doesn't count as losing a real relative, like a part of the family. I think that's the emphasis over there. I wanted to look a little bit at some of the Gemara on the bottom of Yutes Amud Aleph. So we spent a lot of time in the conversation between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, where Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, what am I supposed to do about a guy who doesn't know, two Edim who don't know how to sign their own names? So Reish Lakish says, is it okay for me to write their names in red and have them sign their names in black on top of it? Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Meshon Medam and Asa Maisa. So we learned the Chassam Sofer, Rav Asher, Rashi, three different ways to understand. Rashi, the Chassam Sofer, Rav Asher, three different ways to understand what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. What does Mepeshon Adam and Nasa Maisa is all about? Good, but then the Gemara says, okay, since Rabbi Yochanan wasn't comfortable with that, he didn't like that idea of writing it in red and then having someone else write on top of it in black. So what are you supposed to do? Is there any Eitza? If you have Edom who don't know how to write, what are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says three suggestions. Itma, Edom Shein Yodim Lachtom. We're toward the bottom of Yutah Samar Aleph, about 10 lines before the end of the page. You have Edom who don't know how to sign. So what do you do? Possibility number one. Rav Amar, Mikaren Lehem Niyar Chalak, Umimalim Es HaKaraim Diyo. You rip for them a clean sheet of paper, and you fill the rips with ink. What is he talking about? What does that mean? Mikaren I know means Korea to tear. Right? Niyar means paper, Chalak means clean. Good? Smooth. Whatever. And then you fill it, Mimalim Es HaKaraim Diyo, with black ink. What does that mean? What does that mean? Says Rashi, Makarin, Misartin. What does Misartin mean? Scratch, scrape. Right? So, does it sound like you're actually ripping anything? If you take a pen that's not working, that has no more ink, and you run it along a piece of paper, hard on a piece of paper, it won't rip the paper. If it has a smooth edge to it, what will it do? It will leave a mark in the paper. It will leave like an indentation in the paper. So it sounds that Rashi is explaining that you should do that. You should scratch with your fingernail. I just did it. You should scratch with your fingernail along the paper. It will leave a mark in the paper. And then they'll know they're supposed to write over that mark. They're supposed to fill in that mark with ink. That's how Rashi understands. Now, this is a major discussion in the Rishonim. There is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Tesam and Beis, about what this really means. If you look at Daf Tesam and Beis, Mekarliam Niyar Chalak, Tosfos over there says, Pirish Bekuntras, Misartin, that you scrape it. You scrape it with a fingernail or something like that. Afal gav dechakika chashiva ksiva, kmoksaval gavitavul tinkas. He says, but wait a second, isn't engraving considered ksav itself? What was our problem with using black on top of red? Was that the red itself may already be called ksiva. Why is black on top of black definitely not good? Because the first layer of black is already ksiva. So it's not called kosev to write on top of something that's already nichtav, right? But chakika is also ksiva. Engraving is also ksiva, so how can we suggest that I'm going to scrape it with my fingernail and then the aide is going to come and sign his name? When I scrape it with my fingernail, that's kosev. It's ksiva. So it says Tosos, Hachalo chashu ksav al gabi ksav, tipaslim in perek beis. Says this doesn't count as the ksav al gabi ksav that we say on daf yutes is puzzle. De'ein kan ksiva gemura, el sharosh min ktsas kdei lachtum alav edin. What does that mean? It says it's not ksiva gemura. We leave a little mark so that Edom will sign on top of it. So rosh mim ktsas can mean many things to you. How do you read rosh mim ktsas? We're not doing real. If you really engrave, that's ksiva. We're rosh mim ktsas. Ktsas could be qualitative and it could be quantitative. What I mean by that? Ktsas could mean when you engrave, you really dig in. Over here, you take a fingernail and run it along. It's not really digging in, but it leaves enough of a mark that they'll see that where they're supposed to write, how they're supposed to shape the letters. That could be what Rosh Mim Ksas means. Or Rosh Mim Ksas could mean that normally you'd finish off the letters. when you engrave something, you'd write the folio, you're writing an A, you write two lines, third line across. Maybe what you do over here is make the two lines and not make the third line across. Ktsas, not qualitatively, but quantitatively. Don't finish writing the whole letter. You can read it two ways. Va'od. Da'afilu diol gabi sikra chashiv l'kaman perikbeis ksav li nishav is alpishra sikra levadai ksav. Plus Tosu says, you know, really, when you write on top of even red ink, that really should be called kosev. So it shouldn't be a problem that you're writing on top of an engraved thing, because something that's engraved is less of a ksav than red ink is. And really, red ink, you write black ink on top of red ink, really that should be kosev. What's the problem? What did the Gemara say? Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, can I do black ink on top of red ink? And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, you can't do it because red ink is already nichtav. It's already there, and I'm not mipnei shanu medamin. Just because I think that you should be able to, I'm not willing to allow it. I'm not willing to be makel to allow it. So Tosfos says, yeah, but the impression you get from that Gemara is he, out of a suffix, he wasn't going to allow it. But really, really, in his heart of hearts, he felt it should be allowed. He just didn't have the guts to pass in that way l'maisa. So this is even less than red ink. It's even less of a ksav than the red ink is, because he just scratched in. So maybe this is a little better than that. However, Tosfos says, I don't think Rashi's right. I think he got the whole thing wrong. Mikarin lem niyar chalak doesn't mean that you take a fingernail and scratch it into the paper. He says, no. Avaloshim mikarin lomashma kapirish hakuntrus tavale lemeimer mesartin. It's ironic, right? Rashi has a one-word translation of Makarin, and what is it? Mesartin. Tosfos says, yeah, it's a great translation, l'shitascha, so great that that's the word the Gemara should have used if that's what it meant. But it's not the word the Gemara uses. So what is pshat? V'rach pirish shalok chiniyar chalak u'makarin alav shemul se'edim me'ever la'ever. What does that mean, me'ever la'ever? Through and through. What does korea mean? Doesn't mean scratch. Korea means tear. You tear it through and through. Which means you take a piece of paper and you take a pen, let's say like this. Let's say this pen did not have ink. And you cut right through, except neither than this. And you make the shape of the letter D. Right? So that's how you do it. And then the Edom will come, and they'll, well, the D is supposed to have a hole in the middle. Okay, whatever. And they'll sign along that edge. Through and through. Me'ever le'ever. Not an important paper. Don't worry about it. Not important paper. So they'll sign it through from one end to the other. You put this paper, over the get. This is going to be the clap where you write the get. You put the paper over the get, and you have them just scribble it in. A stencil. That's what it is. And then you'll be able to see the writing on the get. Yushalmi asks, but wait a second, there's a problem here. Whose handwriting is this really? It's not the Edom's handwriting. They just were coloring it in. It's like when you use a stencil to draw the most beautiful, elaborate picture in the world. Does that mean you're an artist? You're still not an artist. You were just filling in the, you're just filling in the blanks. So,
that's not the pen that's considered
writing.
What? That's not the pen that's considered writing.
Right, but it's not, you can't. The point is, how are we mekayim again? How do we do kim shtaros? People come and say, oh, I recognize that signature. That's my dad's signature. I forged it 1,000 times. I know that signature. Let's say.
That's a question with all of these cases. All the cases with tracing.
Oh, good, right? Yerushalmi asked that kasha. That it's not their handwriting. There's nothing recognizable about it. Umeshani. So Yerushalmi gives an answer. The question is, what does Yerushalmi mean by this answer? Kishihirchiv lahem esakra'im ve'edim ein memal legamri kol rachav hakera. What does that mean? That the way it works is not like a stencil. I mean, it's sort of like a stencil. It's a stencil, but it's like the letters are very thick in the stencil. And instead of coloring in the whole empty area of the stencil, you make a line through that area. So the stencil guides me as to how to write, but I'm going to write in a way where I'm making a line through the area rather than filling in the entire. If I fill in the entire, it's not my handwriting at all. But if the stencil just guides me, there's a little bit of handwriting involved. Because do I write toward the inside of the line, toward the outside of the line? Am I shaky? Am I straight? So there's a little bit of handwriting involved. Yeah.
Did he ask that same question for all the others?
The Yerushalmi. Does Yerushalmi ask the same question? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't look up Yerushalmi. I don't know.
Also, I have kind of like a side question.
Yeah?
But like, just in general.
Okay.
It starts with in general.
It starts with in general. Okay. Mutter. mitzvah. Okay. So the... Yeah, so let's just read through the other example, the other case in the Gemara. So again, the Gemara is going to give several options, four options over here, of what to do when the Edom don't know what they're doing, when the Edom don't know how to sign their own name. So the first option, Machlokas Rashi, and tells us what in the world the first option means. Either it means that you write in, like Rashi says, that you scratch it in, or like Tosfos says, that you make a stencil. Good. Second option, Shmuel Amar Be'Aver, use Avar, use lead. What do you mean? Lead writes. We use pencils all the time. That, if you write with a pencil on Shabbos, pater chayiv or pater? Chayiv. You're chayiv for writing with a pencil on Shabbos. So, be'avr sakadai, v'atari rebchia, kasu be'avr b'shachar b'shichu, kosher. So, lo kasher. Ha be'avr, ha be'maya da'avr. A diluted kind of lead is not real ksav. That's what we mean. That you write it in that first and let them write on top of it. Third possibility, rebavar b'may milin. Use gallnut juice is the way I think the article translates it. May milin. Says Marva, Tanri Bechanir, Kasu Meitari, Vaftsa, Kasher. Aftsa is May milin. And we learned that if you write with the Aftsa, that's Kasher. So if you write with May milin first and then expect the Aden to sign on top of that, you're writing, you're doing the Ksiva already. Lo Kasha. Hada Afitz, Hada Lo Afitz. Shein May milin, Algabe May milin. Rashi explains that it used to be that one of the ways they would treat cloth wasn't just stam, a plain white sheet of paper. They would treat it like you ever see when you get wedding invitations. So there, you see all different sorts of quality of paper. Some of them are treated with water in advance. They have what they call watermarked paper. Some, you know, where you could actually see a word if you hold it up to a light. Some are thicker, thinner, in different colors, treated with different things. So one of the things that they would treat a klaf with is gallnut juice. So if the entire klaf has been soaked in gallnut juice already, so when you try to make a mark with gallnut juice on it, you won't see anything, because the whole thing is already saturated with it. But if the klaf has not been soaked in gallnut juice, so then you could still use it. So that's the, then it could still be a ksiva. Good. Rav Papa Amar, Barok. Use saliva. Fine. Only by get, not by other shtaros. Because who have it of the Bishar Shtaros Vinagdi Rav Kana. Someone tried it with Shar Shtaros Rav Kana, put him in gave him Malchus. Okay. So a couple of issues over here. We pointed out this Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about how exactly this works. How exactly the being mimalei sakraim diyo? Is it just scratching into the paper, or is it a or is it that you're actually filling in the stencil? So Tosfos asked on Rashi that we're going to see later on that chakika has a din of ksiva. That's a gemara in one daf from now, in daf chaf amud aleph. That when you engrave, that's called kosev. So if ksav al gabi ksav is not good for get, diol gabi diol is not good for get, even diol gabi sikra, we're not so happy with for get. So why is diol gabi chakika good for get? So what did Tosfos answer? So Tosfos said, it's not a ksav gomor, red is a ksav gomor, so writing on top of red is not going to be called kosev, because you already have a ksav gomor there before. Chakika is a ksav, but it's not an absolute ksav. It's just a reshima that you're making. It's not a real ksav. Fine. The Rashba says that reshima and chakika are two totally different things. Chakika is to engrave, reshima is to make a mark. What does that imply? That what's the difference between Rishima and Chakika? It's a qualitative difference. That Chakika is really engraved deeply, and Chakika is just to and Rishima is just to make a mark, like with your fingernail or something like that. The Ran says that Rishima means to just make part of the letter, not the entire letter. To just make the shape with your fingernail of part of the letter, not the entire letter. When we read Tosos, we said we weren't sure what Tosos means. Right? We read Tosos Daf Tesfin Beis. We said we weren't sure. Tosos says it's Ktsas. It's you're Roshim Ktsas, you're not doing real Chakika. We said there are two ways to understand what Ktsas means. Ktsas could be in quantity or it could be in quality. Does Ktsas mean that you're not really making a thick, strong, deep mark? Or does Ktsas mean you're not actually being Roshim the entire letter? As it turns out, it's a machlokas, Rashi and the Ran. They're not arguing in what Tosfos holds, they're arguing their own shitos. But both of those possibilities are legitimate possibilities in the Rishonim. The Me'iri, however, has an entirely different approach. The Me'iri says, like, the Me'iri always has an entirely different approach. What Shakti say, if you want to give a chabura, you always look at the Me'iri. You'll have all the standard shitos, and then you'll have something totally out of left field. Completely different way of thinking about things. So, again, what was our kasha? How could it be that you could make an indentation in the paper with your fingernail and then have them fill it in with black? Ksav al-gabi ksav is no good, and making the indentation is chakika, so that's a ksav. So it counts as kosev. So he says, yeah, chakika counts as kosev, that's true. The psul of ksav al-gabi ksav is only when both layers would have otherwise on their own been a valid ksav. Would have on their own been a real ksav. He says, when you're chokek, says the Me'iri, the bottom layer that you actually scraped in, that is ksav. That's called ksav legabe Shabbos. But it's an entirely different form of ksav than ink-based ksav. But there are two types of ksav. There are two modes of ksav. There's ksav with engraving, and there's ksav with ink, putting ink on paper. Yes, they may both be called kosev. Legabe get, legabe Shabbos, legabe everything, they may both be called kosev. But the whole issue, the whole reason why ksav legabe ksav is no good, is because you're just doing the same thing that's there already. So if I have black ink written on a paper, and then I write over it with more black ink, so what am I doing? There's already black ink there. I'm not doing anything new. And Rav Yochanan is machmir that even when there's red ink there and I just write black ink on top of it, I'm not doing anything because there was already ink that formed letters over there. So what am I accomplishing? What am I doing? But when I had chakika there and now I'm doing ksiva, I had an engraving there and now I'm putting ink on it, it's an entirely different form of ksav. I'm doing something entirely different. There was never ink used to form letters over here before. Now there is. And that is not going to be a chisaron of ksav al-gabi ksav. My upper ksav now counts as legitimate ksav. Yeah.
I don't understand because it is considered ksav by itself, right?
Yeah, but the way he says it, he splits it. He says that there are two, the way I'm understanding at least, is that there are two forms of ksav. There's ksav b'toras chakika, and there's ksav b'toras diyo al-niyar. Right? There's ksav that's engraving kind of ksav, and there's ink on paper kind of ksav. So when you write ink on paper kind of ksav over chakika kind of ksav, you're doing something entirely different and entirely new. As opposed to when you're doing ink on paper on top of other ink that's already on the paper, so you're not doing anything entirely new. So then it's ksav al-gabi ksav. Yeah.
Just to clarify something on that topic. You said that if you would change the shema aspect, it would be the ksiva if you did diyo al-gabi diyo. If you change the shema, the second is the shema as opposed to the first one.
If you change the lishma aspect, so we said, yeah, Tulsa said that, right?
So, in the case where we mentioned before with on the tree, let's say you had a tree, right? Yeah, let's say you wrote on the tree, right? It's not good, right? If you write the branch is still on the tree, it's not good. Let's say you cut that branch up with the ksav, it's still not a good get because it was written on the tree. Let's say you write over it when it now is detached. Is that now a good get?
It's a good kasha. According to Tosfos, is that considered a maila now that you had a ksiva there that was possible? Now you have a l'chora, according to Tosfos, yeah, that would be real ksiva. L'chora, yeah. According to Tosfos, you'd be chayv in Shabbos for that also. In general,
what's the point of tracing over? Why can you copy? Why can you just copy what they write? You would avoid a lot of problems.
A lot of people have a hard time doing that. It's hard to do. It's like, I can't draw you. I could see you, but I can't draw you. You know? Why not? I just copy what's there. You know, if I'm not familiar with the lettering, Like, would you be able to do the Chinese characters? I don't think I could. I don't know, would you know which dot is important? Like, I don't know. And maybe how you angle the bottom of the line. Like, I don't know what counts.
It doesn't have to be exact. Like, it's not like the same nuances that Chinese have. It doesn't have to be like exact that proper meaning.
Right, okay. But
above in a Zion can look similar sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's too hard. So Tos quoted this Yerushalmi that Tos says, wait a second, this isn't the Ksav of the Edom. The Yerushalmi asks, this isn't the Ksav of the Edom. Whose Ksav is it? It's the Ksav of whoever tore the paper in advance. So he says, the Marchiv es HaKaraim. That's the case, that you make it a very wide stencil and they just fill in the width of the stencil. The Ramah in Siman Kuf Lam and Sifta Zayin writes on the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch there says, Edom that don't know how to sign. Rosh Ram Baruch, use saliva or something. Says Ramah, Yesh Omrim Lasos Ken Lechadchila, Lekach Mekarim Lem Niyar Chalak Veim Chosmim Derech HaKera. So what does Ramah recommend? Of all these four options, Ramah says, best thing to do, stencil. What does Ramah leave out? The width of the stencil. So yeah, just make a stencil. Doesn't say that you need to make it wide so that when they're writing, they have their own freedom to write however they... How does he leave such a thing out? So Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Sefer Get Mekushar, and doesn't wonder how the Ramah could leave out what the Yerushalmi says, that you need to be Markov the Kroy. So he quotes in the Masifta from the Mishnas Yavitz. I think it's a different Mishnas Yavitz than that one. I think it's a different one. That he says, this is what the Ramah means. That Derech, the Ramah, his Lashon is so important. He says, Mekarim lem niyar chalak veim chosmim. How would you say? You rip the paper and they sign, I would say, B'toch HaKera, or something like that. What do you say? Derech HaKera. By way of the tearing. So he says, maybe that's what the Ramah is alluding to. What do you mean, by way of the tearing? It means that the tearing should provide a Derech. It should provide some guidance, but it should not be your entire handwriting. Your handwriting still has to be your handwriting. You still have to have a little bit of leeway in terms of determining your own handwriting. Okay, we'll stop there for today, and Baruch Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. Maybe we'll start Hiddur Mitzvah maybe tomorrow. I like Hiddur Mitzvah, so I'll give you Mar Mekomis in the morning.